This morning we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2, and I wanted to begin just by indicating that as we open our Bibles, we see that there are chapters and verses. This is not how the writers of Scripture originally wrote. They didn't stop and say, as in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, they didn't say, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, they didn't do that. However, that came later, which is a good thing because it helps us to remember where various pieces of Scripture are located. It helps us to organize God's thoughts so that we can have our thoughts and our lives more greatly organized as well. But yet, one of the disservices that it sometimes does is that we divide up our Bible reading into chapters or into paragraphs. And so the result is that we lose the sense of context and the flow. And so how many of us have memorized John 3:16? Well, probably all of us. And in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you have memorized John 3:17? It's very important for us to move on to what Jesus continued to say. So, for God so loved the world, and we already read that. And then it says in John 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Isn't it too bad that we only know John 3:16? Isn't it about time that we start memorizing John 3:16 and 17? Because 17 completes the thought and adds additional volumes to the statement of how much God loves us. Well, when we come to Philippians chapter 2, we have a similar situation here. Is that in Philippians chapter 2, one of the greatest chapters of Scripture. All of us are familiar with this great hymn of the Apostle Paul that he gives and communicates to us, and he has placed in writing, where it speaks of the attitude, the mindset, the heart of Jesus Christ, and the extent to which Jesus was willing to go in order to communicate God's love, grace, mercy, salvation to you, to me, to the young men, to the children all across the globe who are homeless and seemingly living in darkness and turning to drugs and to unseemly life and characteristics and qualities in order to sustain their life day in and day out. Jesus Christ came to bring His light to them, to you and to me, to our world, to eradicate, to eliminate the darkness, to shine and to show and to demonstrate. And so in that passage, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, Paul begins to write and he says, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be held on to. But Jesus let go of it, and He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being allowed to make Himself into human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He became humility in the flesh, and He became obedient even to death, even death on a cross. Wow. Therefore, God now has exalted Him to the highest place and given Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shine, Jesus, shine. What a great passage. But very often we stop right there. And I stop and I think, you know, that Wow, there's a great paragraph that continues on in verses 12 through 18. How many of us know Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18? Because there, not only has Paul taken us to the transcendence and to the wonder and the amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ, but now he brings us into the reality of life where you and I live it, day in and day out. And so now listen to what follows that great passage. Therefore, and you remember how when we hear the word therefore, based on everything that you've heard up to this particular point, my dear friends, Paul says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I know that passage is up there in front of you, but look at it again. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I want to stop right there, and all of a sudden, you and I, maybe these good Presbyterians, were thinking, you know, gee whiz, I thought salvation was by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace. It is by grace alone and in Christ alone. And the next verse, because if you stop at verse 12, you know, you can go away with what would be considered heretical theology, bad theology, in other words. But when you go on to verse 13, it says, well, how does this work if I'm going to work out my salvation? Well, you see, what happens is that we can't do it ourselves because we are dead in our sin. We are spiritually unalive. And so we need to be spiritually resurrected. We need to be made alive again, responsive. And so basically, if you want the image, is that we're in chains. And when we are in chains and these chains wrapped around us, we can't move. We can't do a thing. But yet God comes and he removes the chains in his grace in Jesus Christ. And when we in faith and trust and surrender, say, yes, God, that's the gift. What you are offering is what I need. Then the chains come off. And God in his strength, because then it is verse 13. The reason that we can work out, the reason we can live out our salvation, the reason that we can go forth and we can shine as Jesus shines, and we can allow the light of Christ to fill us, to mold and shape and then use us as his ambassadors, as his servants, as those who would speak the words of reconciliation. It is because it is God who works where? In us to will and to act according to his good purpose. So Paul goes on and he says, so do everything without complaining or arguing. Or another word of saying is, do everything without grumbling. See, Paul sat through a few committee meetings. Paul had friends. You know, Paul had people that he would come alongside of and who would come alongside of him. You know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know, there was an author who wrote a book. The title was, you know, where two or three are gathered together, someone spills their milk. You know, or where two or three have gathered together, someone's grumbling. Someone's grumbling. All right, so Paul is saying, look, remember, therefore, all that God has done in Jesus Christ, all that Jesus Christ did in order to make this salvation, this new life, this resurrection life, a reality. Now we can go forward because it is God who is at work in you and in me, carrying out his good purpose. And so we can carry out this ministry of life, this ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of worship, the ministry of growing, the ministry of serving, the ministry of operations in and through the church and with and alongside of one another. And we can do it without grumbling, and so that, again, as Paul says, so that we may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. How many of you have read that verse in the last year? There it is, right there. God's call, God's intent through the life of Jesus Christ and what He is working to do in you and through you and in me and through me is to shine like stars in the universe. So we need to sort of polish ourselves off a bit, because as Jan came up and, you know, she wanted to hug me, and I said, "Don't touch me, I'm a star." No, that's not what the message of Jesus Christ, is it? He wants us to roll up our sleeves, and He wants us to hug, to hold, to touch, to be involved and engaged in each other's lives, in the humanity around us that needs God's love and grace and new life so desperately. So shine like stars in the universe. And so that light, the shining, does not come from your ability or my ability through our work or your work. It comes through the work of God who is at work in us. Where is God right now? He is in you and in me by faith in Jesus Christ, and He is working out His goodness, His grace, His salvation, giving to us His power so that we in turn then can respond with the power and the energy and the life that He gives to us, and we can shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Thank you, Michael, for being here with us. You are a living demonstration of the light of Jesus Christ in a place of darkness that it's so easy for us to go and come to you to visit in short-term mission kinds of ways and to write checks and to pray for you. But a lot of us don't feel called to that kind of life, to live that out. And how impressed we are by you and by the Bells and by so many other of our missions family across the globe, and so many Christian believers in other lands and other areas that don't have the opportunities, the freedoms, the liberties, the resources that surround us. And yet they shine like stars in the universe. And we are called to come alongside of them. And so we hold out the word of life in order that we may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor, as the Apostle Paul, now speaking to the church at Philippi, is Paul was responsible for helping to bring the gospel to the church and the people of Philippi. And he says, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that is on that day of judgment, on that day when we're all before and standing before the Lord Jesus, and I can see you there shining like stars, and I know that I did not run or labor for nothing. Our labor for the Lord is never in vain. It never comes back empty. It always accomplishes what God desires and designs. The Apostle Paul goes on and he's speaking of himself. He says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so that you too may be glad and rejoice with me. So in this passage, we see God at work. We see the mutuality of faith. Paul addresses in the midst of this wonderful, beautiful passage where we're to shine like stars in the universe, and he speaks of grumbling. You know, we're never too far from reality, are we? I always like the saying, you know, reality is highly overrated. And so that's what God brings to us, is a whole new reality. A whole new reality that would be filled with love and kindness and goodness, compassion, grace and mercy. And as we look around, and let's start with ourselves, is that sometimes I don't really feel much like a star, and I really don't feel much like shining. In fact, there are times when I prefer to be in the darkness or in the shadows or off on the sidelines. And there are times when I don't feel very deserving of the love and the grace that God has for me and wants to give to me. And yet, all through the Bible, it says anybody who is in Christ is called a saint. Wow. I don't know that I should deserve. And in reality, you know, we don't deserve to be called saints. And it's not about what we deserve, is it? It's about what God's grace and love desires to do. Hallelujah. God's in charge. He's sovereign. He's ruler. And yet, so often in our grumbling is about perhaps each other. We bite and devour, the Bible says, one another. And yet, I'm going to ask Steve to put up on the screen here the letters, the first slide that I gave to him. And there are some letters there, and you see them, BPWMGIFWMY. Do you know what that stands for? Sure you do. Slide 2. Be patient with me. BPWM. Be patient with me. And then the GIFWMY. God isn't finished with me yet. Throughout our vacation journeys and traveling, it never fails. You're driving into downtown Denver at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the traffic is beginning to swarm and gather, and all of a sudden, you hit a big orange sign that says, under construction. Not only are you in a traffic jam, but you are in now a single lane traffic jam. And our impatience begins to grow, and we become frustrated. We become angry. We become less than holy. And so, have you ever felt that way with someone near to you, beside you, in a meeting with you, or in some other way, and you're frustrated and you're grumbling? Well, just remember these letters, BPWMGIFWMY. Be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet. Or be patient with another, for God isn't finished with them yet either. You see, God is calling us to be engaged, to shine and allow Jesus to shine through us. To be lights in the world, lights in a dark place, living out this goodness, this kindness, understanding that God has not left us alone, but He is in charge and He is seeking to bring this kingdom, His kingdom, and this church, our church, this world into a new place under the authority, under the rule, under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so very often we disqualify ourselves because of all of our weaknesses, failures, inabilities. But that's not what God sees. God sees just humongous potential. Or as one political candidate really made very popular, huge. He saw huge possibilities that we could fulfill. And so He created for you and for me a community, the mutuality to serve alongside of one another. And so don't disqualify yourselves. Don't disqualify ourselves. Because in Jesus Christ, all things are possible. We can worship, we can grow, we can serve, we can turn the world, our community, upside down, and it can start even within our own families by being patient with ourselves and the people around us. I came across a quote from Edward Everett Hale. He was a clergyman in the late 19th century. And as I've begun to read more and more of Edward Everett Hale, wow, I'm very, very impressed. But he wrote in this statement, he said, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do." Wow. Can we give an amen to that? And then, not to be outdone, let's go back a few years earlier to John Wesley. John Wesley put it this way: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Amen to that? A couple of great quotes, but both underscoring, as the Apostle Paul writes, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that is, with great respect and understanding. For it is God who is at work." Where? In me, in you, in us, to will and to act according to His good purpose, so that we may shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. Amen.